did it.
It's the most difficult thing I've done,
Yukiko said a little wanly.
It's not just shaping them, but infusing them with enough aether that they can act.
What?
Most of my shadow shaping is still me directing everything. It takes effort to do, but not nearly as much as him,
Yukiko said, stroking the shadow hound.
For him, I have to use the spirit path and impress the idea of a hound upon the shadows after I give him the shape. He could follow the simplest commands I give him without me having to direct his every move. I had no idea how taxing it was. My ring will need to be refilled tonight.
Does it keep draining you to hold him here?
It's a fraction of the initial amount I used to create him, but yes, if I used all my aether and my ring, I might be able to get 3 out at once and keep them out for a few minutes.
Huh. What can he do?
Care to help me?
Always, you know that.
Subdue,
Yukiko said softly. The Shadowhound shifted, moved, melted. It was hard to know what to call it. One moment he was facing Yukiko happily, but then the shadow morphed and the hound faced Gregory. The look on his face wasn't a happy one. The shading of the shadows gave the distinct impression of a snarl. Gregory used his ring to portal across the room, but he had to dodge when the shadows he'd used suddenly had the shadow hound in them. Summoning his sheathed wakizashi, Gregory defended himself as the hound leapt after him. Gregory was easily able to keep track of him with aether sight, which was the only reason he was able to evade. The hound was seamless with any shadow he touched, acting like a lower-tier shadow magi with how he went from shadow to shadow. Yukiko watched, not giving any input to her creation, just as fascinated as Gregory was. She could feel the hound in the back of her mind, knowing that she could direct him if she wanted to.
Greg, are you using your magic?
She asked obliquely, not wanting to say more in case they were being watched.
Just keeping my sight on him,
Gregory replied. He struck his muzzle as he dodged another lunge. There was resistance when he parried, but the hound didn't react like a wounded animal. The shadows just took the blow. With a grunt, he unsheathed the sword and then struck. The shadows parted, and the hound backed away from him.
That hurt him,
Yukiko said.
Before it was just stopping him, but cutting the shadows hurt him and me. I felt the cut, even if I didn't take it myself.
I'm glad we're testing it in here and not in an emergency, Gregory said.
Enough. Return,
Yukiko said. The hound was gone, appearing back at her side in the same instant. Gregory grabbed the sheath, putting his weapon away.
Did I hurt either of you?
He reformed from the shadows, but we both felt the jerk of pain. Neither of us has a lasting wound or lingering pain.
May I?
Gregory asked, coming over to sit beside her.
Yes.
Gregory reached out to stroke the hound. It felt odd, there, but also not there. There was just enough pressure that he could pet the hound, but he thought if he pushed harder, the shadows would solidify more to stop him from reaching into it.
I remembered a vision back when we were still getting to know each other, when we were discussing paths and what would be best for us.
Oh? You never told me this.
It was before I knew what the visions were,
Gregory chuckled.
Darkness likely helped me with it. In one, you were covered in blood, with dead eyes, as if you'd given up on life. That was you only being on the body path. The second was the mind path. You were a puppeteer with a cruel smile as you made those tied to your strings dance. The last was the spirit path. You had a happy smile on as the shadows swirled like puppies at your feet. They weren't him, but they definitely reminded me of puppies.
But then we combined paths,
Yukiko murmured.
I can see how each of those could have happened, yet all were broken because of you and me doing what we did.
He put his arm around her waist.
We're alone. Yes, combining the paths changed it all.
You mean how you changed it all?
Yukiko murmured. She touched the hound, letting the shadows fall apart.
I followed my heart, even when I tried to deny you as my heart. Now we're here.
With our family.
Yukiko's smile tilted.
Yes, but right now, you're locked in my office with me.
True, Gregory chuckled, then pulled her into his lap. What will the devious magi do with an unknowing fringer like me?
Oh, I have many ideas. But first...
She kissed him softly before pulling back.
Thank you for giving me the joy that we all have.
Thank you for showing me the path for all of us,
Gregory replied, staring into her cyan eyes.
You're welcome, our soul. Now, my poor, innocent Fringer, let me show you how shadows can corrupt you.
Chapter 35 Gregory, take a seat, Rudit said. We've been stuck inside the walls for 3 weeks now. I'm sure that the raids have reached Bloodrock by now. Tell me, how will the raids end? Gregory exhaled. He'd foreseen the question and had already pushed to see the future.
I can't say for certain, ma'am. There's too much flux. In most of them, Kroga holds the city, but in some, Ragnar falls and the Empire retakes Bloodrock, even pushing further into Kroga. If that happens, we're evicted from the city and the manor will be broken to rubble as we leave.
Rudit nodded slowly. How did he die in your vision?
Elder Ironhand meets him in combat, Gregory said, though he didn't give her the full answer.
It wouldn't be Ironhand that killed Ragnar, but an assassin surprising him during the duel.
It would anger Ironhand, who kills the assassin, but because their duel was broken, it enrages the raiders. Ironhand, badly wounded, falls when Erica goes berserk and slaughters the Empire's army. That prompts the Empire to push more than they ever had before. By the end, the Empire would hold Osla when Lauzi and Stenson clash, the Sage having been called to fight. That ends in Lauzi's death and Stenson missing an arm, but stops the retaliation. Even worse, Verka would die in the ensuing war. She would continue trying to heal once it came out who her brother was, and some of the Ironhand Magi would want revenge for their elder's death. It isn't pretty if Ragnar dies. Both countries clash at levels they haven't clashed at before. The High Priest and Sage Windfoot are called to face each other, and the Empire loses a sage.
Rudit looked pensive for a long moment. That's not ideal.
I can't see a path where the Empire holds Bloodrock and doesn't pay a high cost to do so.
We've lost the city before, and have retaken it at a later time. We can do it again, Rudit said softly. Very well. I need to send a discreet message today. Send Yukiko to me.
She's waiting in the outer office, ma'am,
Gregory said. Of course she is, Rudit chuckled. Has it grated on her?
She doesn't like keeping secrets from us,
Gregory replied, understanding the change of topic.
However, she's done as ordered. We know she's spying, but not who she's keeping tabs on.
Good. It's for your family that things are being withheld.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me about today.
Gregory did just that before leaving. He sent Yukiko in behind him, then went to train the men with Jen.
Are you ready for your rounds, my heart?
Gregory asked Mindy when sparring ended.
Yes.
Mindy smiled once she'd finished healing the last guard who needed it.
We'll have to skip the staff who are sleeping, but we can come back to them after dinner.
For the best,
Gregory said. He took her hand to walk with her.
We won't find much to heal. 3 weeks of being stuck inside the embassy means that everyone is in peak condition.
There might have been an accident or two. If we don't find any, we can retreat to your office for a bit. You could play a song, and we could discuss healing texts or something similar.
Yes, that would work,
Mindy murmured, her cheeks reddening slightly. All of his wives knew that they could sneak kisses and snuggles with him when he sat with them. In some cases, he could even be tempted into more. She was looking forward to her time alone with him. They were close to the stables when a cry of pain rang out from inside. The two of them ran to help whoever was in distress. Entering the stables, they both saw Hans holding his hand to his chest protectively.
Hans, what happened?
Gregory asked.
I got my finger nipped, sir,
Hans said, not looking his way.
Let us see,
Mindy said softly. Hans held his hand out. It wasn't bad, but it was red and swollen where he'd been bitten. Mindy touched Hans with her aether, and Gregory touched the young man too, trying to feel what she was doing. For a moment, Gregory thought he could feel it, but then it slipped away.
All done,
Mindy said.
Now what happened?
I was getting Legacy ready for his exercise when he nipped me,
Han said.
The stablemaster told us that warhorses might get antsy the longer they're stabled.
Gregory looked at his horse, who was in the process of being bridled.
Mindy, I'm gonna spend a couple of hours giving Legacy some exercise. I'll come up to your office afterward.
That's fine. We don't want any more accidents,
Mindy said. She was grateful he told her about the horse acting up earlier. She wouldn't have complained about her time being shortened with him, but it would have been an unpleasant surprise. Knowing that he was going to spend time with the horse helped her accept what the day would be.
Will you tap Davis and ask him to come out?
Of course, my heart.
Gregory stepped closer to Legacy, picking up his bridle.
Let's get you ready for some work.
Legacy's lip pulled back, showing teeth.
Don't,
Gregory said firmly as he stepped in. Legacy settled back, understanding that he couldn't cow Gregory.
Hans, get me his saddle, please. Then see about saddling Davis's horse.
Yes, sir.
Mindy leaned into the stall to kiss Gregory's cheek before she left.
I'll be waiting.
I won't keep you waiting too long.
The next couple of hours had him and Davis sparring on horseback. The men not on duty turned out to watch. Gregory wasn't as smooth on Legacy's back, which helped prolong any spar. He made a mental note to make sure he got more practice fighting while mounted. The little bit of skill he'd built while traveling had fallen well off. He'd curried Legacy after the ride, taking the time to groom him. Basil offered to take over, but Gregory declined with a thank you. The horse needed to be reminded that his rider cared for him. Gregory spoke the entire time he spent grooming Legacy. Davis was doing the same with his mount. His hadn't bitten anyone, but it was clear the steed was antsy during their spar.
Let the other lieutenants know they might want to do the same,
Gregory said when he'd finished.
I'll let Jen know tonight so she can make a point of getting time with her mount, too.
Will do, sir,
Davis said.
Not Yukiko.
She has a calm mare. They never really got into mounted combat. With her magic, she can handle people on foot or horse easily enough by trapping them in place, or just killing them outright.
That's a good point.
Taking his leave of the stables, Gregory went straight up to Mindy's office. It was late in the afternoon, so they'd only get a couple of hours before they'd need to bathe for dinner. Knocking, he went in a moment later.
Sorry for the delay, my heart.
It's okay. Is Legacy calm now?
I'm going to make a point of working with him, besides the exercise that the squires give him. If I do, he shouldn't nip anyone again.
That'd be for the best,
Mindy said.
Sit, I'll be over in a moment.
She motioned at the couch. Gregory did so, and Mindy was beside him a minute later.
I'm still sorry that you didn't get as much time with me today.
Life happens. I wasn't upset, especially not with the warning you gave me this morning. If you hadn't, I would have been a little sad, but not upset.
Because you're wonderful in all ways,
Gregory murmured, looking into her eyes. Mindy giggled, then pulled out her flute.
Just relax and let me play for you.
As my heart desires,
Gregory smiled. Mindy played a few songs for him, enjoying watching his expression while she did. Gregory loved the music, and it showed on his face. When she finally stopped, she snuggled up to him.
You smell like horse.
Giving you memories, is it?
Gregory chuckled, hearing the undertone in her words.
Bridled and eager,
Mindy murmured as she nuzzled his neck.
Can I get you to come bathe with just me?
I'm not opposed to giving you extra scrubbing and affection, my heart.
And our wives will understand,
Mindy whispered.
I love you, Greg.
He shifted so he could gently tilt her chin up.
I love you too, my star-eyed healer.
His kiss stopped her from replying, but the love between them grew bright in her heart. The pair were soaking when the others showed up to bathe. Yukiko snickered, giving Mindy a wink when she led Roshana over to be cleaned.
I see that someone enjoyed her time with our soul.
I did,
Mindy blushed.
We just got into the tub.
For the second time,
Gregory chuckled, holding Mindy in his lap.
Aw, she could have waited for me,
Clover said with a fake pout. Greedy? Jen laughed.
Yeah, I am,
Clover admitted.
Come, my love, let's get you clean, and maybe Greg will let you take his lap until dinner,
Ling said.
Ooh, really?
Clover looked back at Gregory with hopeful eyes.
That'll be up to Mindy,
Gregory said. She has a claim on it right now.
If you wash Ling first, then yes.
Mindy grinned.
That way I can cuddle her when you come sit on him.
Yes!
Clover shouted, grabbing Ling and practically pushing her onto the bench. Ling laughed.
Easy, my sweet. He isn't going to vanish.
The others were all laughing at Clover's enthusiasm.
How was your day, Yuki? Gregory asked.
Different, but again, I can't say anything more than I sent a message.
Yukiko sighed.
She knows it's bothering me, but hasn't given me leave to speak.
She said it was better for the family if you didn't.
Deniability,
Yukiko said.
Yuki, you first,
Roshana said gently.
Sit, let me pamper you.
Us, let us pamper you, Jen said.
As my heart's wish,
Yukiko smiled as she took a seat.
And your day, Greg?
Good. Oh, Jen, you should get some work in with your horse soon.
When you told us about today, I planned to. I'll do it tomorrow.
Jen nodded.
After dinner, Mindy and I will be checking with the night staff to make sure they're fine. At least one of them has a sore throat,
Gregory said.
After that, we'll come to bed.
We'll be waiting for you both.
Yukiko smirked, giving away that she had plans for later. Chapter 36.
May I join you?
Gregory asked, coming into the office.
Always, my heart,
Ling smiled at him.
Come, sit.
He took the spot beside her.
What are you working on today?
I was going to try with a smaller guard charm. You asked before about being able to enchant bracelets. I've got time, so I'm going to start on the enchantment. I won't touch our items until I am sure I have it down perfectly, though. I don't want to ruin what we have.
Gregory put his arm around her waist.
Thank you. Can I assist?
Not with the enchanting. Unlike Clover's work, I don't have things to crush and cut ahead of time.
Maybe I'll just cuddle you then.
Oh?
Ling giggled. Gregory slid around so he was sitting behind her. Gently easing her into his lap, he put his arms around her waist.
Is this too distracting?
No. This is perfect.
Ling purred happily. Her lion ears twitched once as she snuggled against his chest. Gregory planted a kiss on the back of her head.
I can't see what you're doing, but that's fine. I can at least keep my wife happy.
Very happy,
Ling murmured. A few hours later, Gregory kissed Ling goodbye. He went just down the hall to Roshana's office next. Knocking, he paused before entering the room. Roshana was at her desk penning a letter, but she gave him a smile when he came in.
Hello, my heart,
Roshana said happily.
I'm almost done with this.
Take your time,
Gregory said, going to take a seat on the sofa. It took a few minutes, but she finished her report. Stretching, she got up to join him on the sofa.
How was your day been?
Good. I cuddled Ling while she worked on enchantments.
Roshana snuggled against his side.
I bet she was smiling and purring.
Of course. You have to check and refill the cistern today, correct?
That's my task for the day. Are you going to come with me?
If my heart would like me along, I'll gladly follow her.
I always want you beside me, Greg. We all know that after this posting, we'll likely all be split apart again. It tugs at each of us, but we understand. Our family will always be spread apart while we do what we must for the Empire or Clan.
Well, not always, Gregory murmured. I know for certain that we'll all be together in time.
But that'll be years, decades, or perhaps even centuries,
Roshana said softly.
I know we'll all at least spend time with you or each other here and there before then.
True. We all have duties to perform before that day comes.
Which is why we cherish this posting. All of us feel bad for our friends, too. They won't have the same time with you.
Well, that's doubtlessly true, Gregory sighed. I hope to at least get a few months with them after this posting, if possible.
They'd love any time they got. But that's for later, for them and for us. We need to get going so I can complete my tasks on schedule.
Gregory leaned over to kiss her sweetly.
Very well, my dear bound bunny.
Roshana shivered against him.
I'm so glad all of you accept my desires.
Gregory stood up, offering her a hand. Pulling her to her feet, he clasped hands with her as they headed for the door.
It helps that all of us are accepting of each other's quirks, even when one of us is a bit intense about our needs.
Roshana snickered, thinking about Clover's eagerness in bed.
Yes, but none of us mind, even if we have to ask her to let us calm down before she tries for more.
Gregory's cheeks were faintly pink at the same thought.
That acceptance makes me love our family all the more.
Us too.
They had to climb to the roof where the cistern was located. The ladder to it was inside the embassy. It wasn't used often, but it was kept clean. Filling it normally took using the hand pump for hours, but with Roshana, that wasn't necessary because she was a water magi.
First, we need to take the cover off and check the interior,
Roshana said.
Can you please?
The walkway around the top of the cistern made getting to the cover easy. Kneeling on the catwalk, he grabbed the handles. It didn't budge when he pulled, so he tried the time-tested method of twisting one way, then the other, to see if it would move. It squealed a little when he twisted, and he could feel the movement, so he kept going until he felt it give. With a grunt, he lifted the cover off. It was heavier than he expected.
Let me see,
Roshana said, pushing her aether out into the cistern. Gregory watched her with aether sight as he tried to touch her magic. She was infusing the water inside, checking for impurities or other problems. As she worked, he began to feel the hint of what her magic was like.
Greg?
Roshana gasped when her magic suddenly broke apart.
Sorry, Gregory said, standing up to hug her. I forgot. It can be shocking the first time I touch it. Are you okay?
Oh, yes,
Roshana exhaled.
It was fine. It felt warm and comforting, like warm steam.
Gregory smiled as he held her lightly.
Go ahead. I'll try not to distract you again.
Do what you were. I won't be startled by it anymore,
Roshana murmured. She reached out with her magic again to scour the cistern. There wasn't anything wrong since her last visit, and it was far better than her initial check when she'd arrived at the embassy. With nothing to really clean, she just summoned water to fill it. Gregory couldn't track what she was doing that well, but he did manage to lightly touch on her magic again. It was cool, smooth, and refreshing, but was also shallow like a brook, which he interpreted as her not pushing her magic. When she finished, she exhaled softly.
All done, my heart.
Let me get it capped.
When they were done, Gregory stepped away from her with a smile.
Magic training?
What did you have in mind?
Water balls. I'd like you to try hitting me or capturing me.
You'll use foresight?
I don't want to be soaked, so yes, but only a single second ahead.
Roshana's rabbit ears twitched, and she shifted a little.
Very well. Say what?
She launched the first one before she finished her sentence. Gregory laughed as he danced aside from the water.
Nice try, my devious wife.
I'll get you.
Roshana laughed as she began to conjure more water balls.
You already have me, Gregory smiled. But focus.
Oh, I'll show you.
It was a couple of hours before bathing when Gregory walked into Jen's office. He'd have squelched with every step if Roshana hadn't pulled the water out of his clothing. In the end, she'd gotten him. He hadn't expected her to create a thin layer of water around the roof, then crash it down on his head.
Greg, how's your day been?
Jen asked with a smile.
Good. Are you up for some shogi?
Want to lose, do ya?
Jen's smirk was wide when she asked the question.
We learn best by pushing ourselves. I still get a game of go against Yuki occasionally, too.
I don't mind playing you,
Jen said, motioning to the sitting area. I have a board in my ring.
I do, too.
Gregory chuckled. He took the seat and began to set up the game.
And go, and cards, and dice. It's best to keep things on hand. If not for how much we can carry, it would be difficult.
Especially during the adept posting,
Jen exhaled.
How have the memories been?
Gregory asked softly.
Better. Being with all of you has helped ease them. It's the same for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I had Rafik to help me before I got here, though. You didn't.
That's true. But I had Yuki and the others before you got here.
That's fair.
Jen took her seat across from him.
You can go first.
Not that it'll help me. Gregory chuckled. Was it quiet for you today?
Yes. Since I only had a single squad for today, my training was over early. Mindy had to fix a cracked rib for one of the men, but that was it for anything serious.
Has being stuck in the walls bothered you?
Not as much. If it stays like this for a year or more, maybe. But right now, no. I kind of miss the challenges, especially against the champions. Those always pushed me to do more.
I can understand that. It's a pity that we can't continue the duels, but it would raise questions here and at home.
How can they act so casually when there's a war going on?
Yes, but in the Empire, it would also be questioning why we don't arrange for accidents.
Ugh, yeah. Some of the idiots would wonder that. Some would even boast about how they'd do it.
Which would only lead to things spiraling for us, Gregory shrugged. This is for the best, even if it isn't great.
Any idea when it'll end?
Jen asked after a few minutes. She was taking the lead in the game and would win soon.
I've tried to find the answer to that for Rudit. There's too much in flux, but I can say the Empire is not taking the loss of Bloodrock lightly.
Did that asshole there die?
Master Oleg Leeson of the Iron Hand would have perished when they took the city. We don't have confirmation yet, but we should in a day or two. That might prompt orders for Yuki.
I hope not, Jen said. If he died in combat, we shouldn't try assassination.
If we were in charge, yeah, but we aren't. It's not guaranteed to happen yet, but she'll get them. She's expecting it, so we should too.
It's not like she can refuse an order and not have it backlash on the entire family and clan.
We'll have to see what happens.
Hopefully we have more quiet days first.
Aether willing,
Gregory said, earning a chuckle from Jen and a shrug from him in reply. Chapter 37.
Good morning, Rudit.
Anything of note today, Gregory?
You received some sealed mail, but you don't tell me the contents. Whatever's in them has you less than happy.
I'm sure it involves the Bloodrock War. Anything else?
Two smaller matters. The artist my family hired to do portraits tries to deliver the finished products today. He does eventually get to hand them off, but only because Astrid's daughter comes to the gate.
Why does a priest of the Krogheim Council come?
Rudit asked with a raised eyebrow.
Because of my magic training with Rishani yesterday. It was deemed a spectacle, and we're being asked not to do so again.
She covered the roof of the manor in water, Rudit snorted. Of course it was eye-catching. Unless she asks to speak with me, I'll leave you to handle it. Make sure to file your report before the day ends.
Yes, ma'am.
Nothing else?
Nothing, ma'am.
Let's do the peaceful fist, then. It might be the best part of the day.
Gregory helped train the men for a couple of hours until it was time for him to go to the gate. He could see Sergeant Bunsen talking to one of the Huskarls on the outside when he approached.
I'm saying that the ambassador should at least be notified before you turn him away,
Bunsen grunted. Before the Huskarl could reply, another voice entered the conversation.
Collect the art. We'll inspect it.
The Huskarl stepped aside for Astrid's daughter.
I've come to address other concerns with them. Please send for... Magus Petit. I shouldn't be surprised to see you.
Priest Astrid's daughter, it is a pleasure to see you again. Would you like to come in and discuss matters?
I will bring one of the Huskarls with me for safety, if that is acceptable.
I personally guarantee your safety, Astrid's daughter, but I will allow one Huskarl too.
Give me a moment to organize things, please.
Of course.
When Astrid's daughter turned away, Gregory turned toward Bunsen.
Is everything okay?
Everything is fine, sir. The Huskarls don't talk much, and we haven't had any incidents with the locals. I'd have been shocked to have the painter show up if you hadn't warned us. The Huskarls had no idea about him, so that did cause a bit of a stir. But it was fine, especially because Astrid's daughter and you arrived when you did.
Keeping things as calm as possible is for the best.
Magus, we are ready,
Astrid's daughter said a minute later.
The artist is coming in with us.
That's fine, ma'am. Sergeant, let them in.
Men, open the gate for three.
Bunsen ordered. Astrid's daughter led the two men into the grounds. The Huskarl was as thickly muscled and imposing as all of them were. He carried his axe with one hand as he walked past the guards. The last of the three was the artist who'd been given Enzo's art and had sat in the garden for the last year.
Rama, thank you for bringing the art.
Gregory greeted the man with heavy hints of Lamaz in his features.
I didn't know they'd embargoed you, Magus. If I had, I would have just sent word.
Rama murmured.
It's to ensure the safety of the Magi within the embassy,
Astrid's daughter said.
But we will inspect the paintings before you hand them over.
Yes, ma'am,
Rama said deferentially.
This way, please,
Gregory said, leading the group toward the front doors. It took only a couple of minutes to get them all seated with tea in the parlor. Rama was calm once he had a drink in hand. It was still obvious that he was wary of being between a priest and a Magi.
Thank you for letting us in,
Astrid's daughter said, sitting back with her cup.
I know you have been pleasant and honorable, but with recent circumstances, I wasn't sure how I would be received.
Aether's guard holds Krogheim's council no ill will. You moved to protect your people and country. We're both aware that if Magi really wanted to leave, it would take more than Huskarls to stop us.
Of course. They're mostly there to stop the citizens from causing trouble and to stop your men from causing problems.
Which our men wouldn't, but we understand that other ambassadors weren't as polite.
Politically stated.
Astrid's daughter chuckled before sipping her tea.
Maybe we should deal with the art so Rama can go.
Thank you, Magus,
Rama said, quickly setting down his cup and pulling the tubes off his back.
I have 12 copies of the art you asked for. I'm sorry for the delay, but I did my best to make them identical.
Gregory waved the parlor maid forward so she could clean the table off. It took a while, but she'd done it as quickly as she could. Once it was done, Rama laid out the first portrait. It showed Gregory, his wives, and eventual wives, minus Claudia and Verka, all sitting in a garden. Gregory's expression softened when he looked over the art.
I've met most of them before. But who are these others?
Astrid's daughter asked.
Nessa, Daciana, and Victoria.
Gregory pointed at each.
They're friends from the academy, a year younger than me. They'll likely be marrying into the family after this posting, if they still want to.
Astrid's daughter stared at the art for a long moment. It would put 9 women with Gregory. Not just women, but Magi.
9 Magi love you enough to marry into your family?
The question was incredulous.
Yes. It's not just love of me, though, but love of all of us. As we hold their hearts, they hold ours. It might be another decade or two before we can marry, but all of us hope that they still want to when we see them again.
Vera must have blessed you.
Gregory's lips twitched.
I think she has. Every day with my family is a blessing from Vera. It's like she taught Aether long ago. Shared love multiplies while shared sorrow is lessened.
Astrid's daughter was quiet, then nodded.
It is said she uttered similar words to him. You think 10 of you can share love peacefully?
10, 11, 12, or more, Gregory said. We guard each other's hearts. We all agree that if another joins us, it isn't just me deciding. How small and petty would I be if I just added to the family without my wives agreeing?
I think many wouldn't consider that, especially Magi, who aren't known for considering others.
Gregory dipped his head.
I can't argue that.
Why 12 pieces of art, though?
Rama had continued to lay out the other pieces, showing near identical copies. It would take an artist to notice where a brushstroke was different from one to the next.
For our families, Gregory said softly. We all wanted to send them to families so they can know who we love. We'll be sending 3 to our friends stationed at the academy for the coming year. Will you allow us to send them out?
Astrid's daughter paused with her cup half raised to her lips, then set it aside.
You had these commissioned before the closure, obviously. Will you give me the places and names to send them on your behalf instead?
Oh, gladly. It isn't like you couldn't find out where they were going anyway, but I know it'll make it easier for the council to ensure it isn't a coded message.
It is unlikely, at least with your family. If you wanted to send coded messages, then Yukiko could do it easily.
Gregory chuckled and set his tea down.
That's true. Besides the art, what can I do for you today, ma'am?
There was a bit of commotion yesterday. Do you know why?
Because of the magic training Roshana was doing with me, Gregory answered honestly. She was tasked with hitting me with water. She eventually went to the Dome of Water to do so by sheer volume.
She covered the roof with a plane of water. It was visible for blocks and caused a stir in the city.
We apologize, but it's difficult for her to train while being held inside the walls.
Astrid's daughter looked at Gregory for a long moment before she sighed.
Your family has shown us time and again that you're honorable. I have been given leave to offer a small token of trust between Aether's Guard and the Council. Twice a week, I will come to collect Roshana and take her to the harbor to work on her magic.
She would be honored to train alongside a priest as powerful as you, ma'am.
Gregory smiled.
When should we expect you next?
Do you not need to get approval from your ambassador?
Astrid's daughter asked.
I was told that I had full authority to handle matters today, ma'am. I might frame it as Roshana learning how to better counter Krogian priests in the report, but honestly, she just wants to have the best control she can.
I see.
Astrid's daughter sighed, then motioned for Rama to gather the art.
Give me the addresses and I'll get this sent.
Leave one for us, please.
Gregory suddenly had a scroll and pouch in hand.
These are what you require to send them, including the payment.
Very well. You don't want to have to report that you're indebted to the Council.
Collecting the payment and scroll, Astrid's daughter sighed.
We hope to have cordial relationships again once the conflict is over.
As do we.
You might not have heard yet, but Bloodrock fell to Iverson.
I don't doubt that. Ragnar was far more than the Magi in the city would have expected. They'll be bringing far more powerful Magi to bear now.
We believe so, too.
Astrid's daughter stood up as Rama finished packing all but one of the portraits away.
Aether bless you, Petit.
May Krog bless you, the Council, and my friends in danger,
Gregory said, bowing as a magi to her when he stood up. Astrid's daughter paused at that.
Yes, of course.
She clapped her right fist to her chest. Acknowledging that Gregory had just potentially wished Ragnar's safety wouldn't be wise, so she cut it off. Chapter 38 Gregory smiled at the family portrait as he got dressed the next morning. Yukiko had it framed and hung before they'd gone to bed. Seeing what most of his family would be like together was heartwarming. The portrait was missing Claudia and Verka, which made him sad, but he knew why they weren't depicted in it. The last one to the front room, he took the seat remaining between Mindy and Roshana.
I know Rudit was unhappy with the sealed scroll she got yesterday, but she didn't tell me what was in it.
It likely deals with the war,
Yukiko said.
She had me put extra scrutiny on a couple of people yesterday.
But she can't tell us who, Jen said.
No. My orders are complete silence on the targets.
Yukiko apologized.
We do what we have to, Gregory said. If it might hurt the family, it's understandable.
Greg, if you give me your puzzle and wax tablet, I'll get it ready while you use foresight,
Mindy offered.
Thank you, dear healer,
Gregory said, handing over the items.
This shouldn't take long.
The others fell silent while they waited to hear what he saw for the day. Several long minutes later, Gregory exhaled slowly.
Roshana, Astra's daughter comes back to take you to train.
That was fast,
Roshana murmured.
They want to keep the goodwill. Even with Ragnar at war with the Empire, they want to maintain what we've built.
Rudit will get some hard questions about Roshana's trips,
Yukiko said.
Which is why she'll ask Roshana to make reports on how many priests are there every time she goes,
Gregory said.
She sells it as possible scouting just in case the Empire decides to attack Krogheim itself.
Well, that would be... it's the posture of her trying to help.
Yukiko nodded.
Giving her the appearance of doing what she can while it's near worthless,
Ling said. To attack Krogheim would take all the sages or even the Emperor himself because of Stenson and his priests being here? Jen nodded slowly.
Which dovetails nicely with my work,
Yukiko smiled.
I should have a talk with Rudit. She might have insights for me. She has centuries more experience in navigating political entanglements like this.
You'll have the chance. She calls you to her office after me, Gregory said.
Which means new orders,
Yukiko sighed.
We do what we must.
Good morning, ma'am, Gregory said, taking his seat across from Rudit.
Gregory, I read your report. You've given me some trouble, yet also some wiggle room. When should I expect them to ask Roshana to head to the docks?
Today, ma'am.
Rudit stared at him, then pinched the bridge of her nose.
Of course. Before we delve too far, what else happens today?
That's the biggest event. You ask for Yukiko after we speak, but you never tell me why.
Rudit eyed him for a long moment before she shook her head.
Gregory, you know why I don't tell you.
Orders.
Correct. Just as Yukiko isn't allowed to inform your family.
Gregory dipped his head in acknowledgement.
You have orders starting today. Orders that you can't discuss with your family.
Gregory knew it was coming, but being told made it feel more poignant.
Yes, ma'am.
You are to start trying to figure out how the Empire can take Bloodrock back. I need reports every day. You're to drain your aether to this single task every day, besides making sure we know what today will be.
Understood. When do you want the reports?
Bring them with you every morning. I'll fold them into mine so the information that needs to be sent can be.
Yes, ma'am.
Very well. Let me tell you about yesterday.
After training the men with Jen and a quick rinse, he went to his office. He hadn't used it much, but now he needed a place to sit and write a report. Taking a seat at his desk, he made sure he took a deep breath. Gregory knew he'd fail a lot because Ragnar was in Bloodrock, but if he had orders, he had to do them.
Is this a bad thing? Gregory asked out loud. If I fail and fail to give them clear answers, it'll cast doubt on my magic.
Gregory tossed the thought back and forth. He knew he couldn't see the future clearly, but he had to do his best. If he could get hints, but not clearly, it would diminish what people expected from him. That'd actually be better for him if he was garnering too much attention already. Taking a deep breath, Gregory touched Foresight and pushed his aether into it. Foresight was odd in that he needed to be told, see it himself, or something similar for it to work. With him stuck in the embassy, it mostly came down to what reports Rudit got and shared with him. There were also some futures where someone else would tell him about Bloodrock. The snippets he found were just as jumbled and varied as he expected. After each glimpse, he paused to make notes, then pushed again. He kept at it for an hour until he felt drained. Sitting back, he rubbed his eyes. His aether flame was flickering as he'd refused to use his ring. He'd been ordered to drain his aether to do the task, though not as much as he could use, so he adhered to the orders. The knock on his door got him to absorb his notes into his ring.
Come in.
Ling came in, giving him a puzzled look.
I was wondering where you'd gone. Normally you find one of us after training. None of the others knew where you were.
Orders. Secret orders.
Gregory sighed.
You didn't mention it this morning, so we figured it had to be like Yuki's orders.
I still need to put it into a report, but then I'm done for today.
Ling had crossed the room to him.
You look exhausted, Greg.
Orders. My ring is full, though.
Ling went behind him, her hands on his shoulders. When her thumbs dug into his muscles, he leaned forward slightly.
Just relax for a bit, my heart.
Oh, thank you, Ling. Your day's been good.
Yes, I'm making small steps on the guard enchantment. Another month or two, and I'll be willing to give it a try on a test item.
You'll pull it off, Gregory murmured. My wives are amazing.
Ling purred as she kneaded his muscles.
I'll fail a lot first. My magic, unlike most others, is based on failure and improvement. Even Clover doesn't fail as often as I do. Mine is enduring, which most others aren't.
I never thought of it that way.
Hemet said that to me, and I've accepted his wisdom. Years later, I see how correct he was.
Gregory didn't reply, just enjoying the feeling of the massage. Ling eventually slowed her kneading.
It's almost time to bathe my heart.
Gregory scooted his seat back, and Ling shifted to the side. He chuckled when he gently pulled her into his lap. Her purr and leaning into him made him smile broadly.
First, a little cuddle for my wife.
You're a wonderful husband.
I try to be even half of what my wives are.
Ling chuckled, nuzzling her face against his chest.
We love you too, and feel much the same.
It's why our family's full of love.
One of the reasons, yes.
Gregory squeezed her firmly for a moment before loosening his grip.
Thank you for coming to find me, Ling.
Even if you already knew I would.
Ling chuckled as she stood up.
Even if I knew you would, I don't take your love for granted. Knowing you came because you were concerned made me feel bad for not telling you earlier.
But it would dip the reason why when you aren't supposed to say anything.
Basically, I can explain the barest outline to our wives tonight, as it'll be on a topic that's common knowledge.
Very well.
Ling bent to kiss his head.
Finish your report, then come to find us in the bath.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
She gave him a smile before she left him in his office. Taking a moment to watch her go, Gregory exhaled slowly. Pulling his notes out, he read through them, then compiled a report. No one would be happy with it, as it gave no hard facts. His documentation showed different futures every time he looked. The only overriding fact that remained was that Bloodrock stayed with Kroga, which was not what the Empire wanted to hear. In time, he finished with what was required of him. He let the report slip into his ring before he stood up. Making his way to the bathing rooms, he smiled when he heard his wives' voices from the inner room. Stripping down, he entered the far room where most of them were already in the tub.
Sorry for the delay.
It's fine, our soul,
Yukiko said.
Ling said you have secret orders just like I do.
I can't say anything about them, but yes.
It's okay, Greg,
Mindy said.
But I want to make sure you didn't hurt yourself.
I'll be there as soon as I rinse off. Rishana, how was your day?
Good. Astrid daughter stayed with me the entire time, a little removed from the other priests. I held back the edge of what I could do, but I did my best to push my magic.
Rishana replied tiredly.
I just used everything I could personally do.
You two look like you both did,
Clover said.
My ring is full, but I am not,
Gregory said.
My orders require me to be like this.
Yukiko gave him a small nod.
We won't ask you anything about it. Because it'd get you in trouble,
Clover said.
Besides, Yuki thinks she knows and told us already.
Gregory laughed as he took a seat to clean up.
I wouldn't be surprised if she knew more than I do. We all know she's the sharpest among us.
Everyone agreed, and Yukiko laughed. It always made her feel accepted that none of them felt threatened when she put things together so much faster than they did. Gregory joined them in the tub after a few moments, putting Yukiko on his lap.
Thank you for doing what I can't, Yuki.
I'll always do what I can for the family. No one can get in trouble this way, because you didn't tell us anything.
Greg, how long will it be?
Clover asked.
The war?
Yeah.
I can't say. It depends on how far the Empire pushes to take Bloodrock back now, as opposed to a century from now.
Okay.
Until then, we do what we have been, Jen said. Train, complete our tasks, then love each other as much as we can. Eventually, things will change back to what they had been.
All right.
Clover sighed as she snuggled on Ling's lap. Gregory looked over his family, soaking in the love he felt. He didn't know what the war would do, but he did know that his family would always be here for him. Chapter 39. The next 2 months settled into a routine again. Gregory tapped his aether to exhaustion each day to see the future as he'd been ordered. His visions were jumbled, chaotic, and wholly unreliable. It was only 2 weeks prior when Rudit tasked him with checking the futures of the edges of the war that he was able to give solid visions. That took the war and pushed it to focus on Bloodrock, as Kroga was forced to give ground on every other front. He didn't give perfectly clear visions, though, always hedging and obfuscating the full truth. If he hadn't, then his inability to see Blood Rock became even more of a sticking point than it already was. The hints of uncertainty he allowed to linger would muddy what the problem was with seeing Blood Rock. The Empire had finally fielded the army and many Magi to the border. The clashes were brutal and bloody. Gregory knew some of his previous classmates would die. Some he felt bad for, but some he didn't feel bad about at all. A couple of the people he faced during the solstice also fell in battle, while others would be able to be raised as champions when they finally made it back to Krogheim. War raged between the two nations, while the majority of Aether's Guard was absent from the conflict. Dasiana was pulled into the far edges. She slew a fresh champion in single combat. That made the units with him pull back, but gave her a scar from hairline to jaw. The letter about it wouldn't come for months, but it would eventually make it to them. She'd be awarded a medal for turning a flank in the Blood Rock War. The big news was that Gregory found out how the war ended. Every future began to shift to it, showing it to be the future that would be. His notes were the longest he'd written for months, as he'd get a lot of news from various sources when things settled. It took him 2 days to arrange the ending in his notes. He was withdrawn those nights, and his wives helped comfort him as much as they could. Entering Rudit's office, Gregory was calm, even though he knew today set a lot of things into motion.
"Morning, ma'am."
Rudit's head tilted slowly as she watched him.
"Pettit, that was formal. Is the news bad?"
"Yes, ma'am. It's going to be well received. In a week, we'll have a special guest arrive outside of normal channels to discuss this report."
That got Rudit to set her ring on the desk, creating the barrier from the enchantment.
"Tell me,"
Gregory set his report on the desk before he took his seat.
"We can't take Blood Rock back from Ragnar. Before winter comes, the army pulls back, and we've given up on the city."
Your recent reports were making that more likely. What changes to make it certain?"
Gregory gestured at his report.
"General Ruzi offers a duel."
Rudit's eyebrows went up, but she didn't pick up the report.
"He fights Ragnar?"
"With a friend beside him. Both die. Ragnar is wounded, but Elder Ironhand holds to the duel and withdraws the army from the border."
Rudit picked up the report at that point. Silently, she scanned through it before setting it down. Closing her eyes, she exhaled slowly.
"That'll be a bleak day for the Empire. If it doesn't play out like you think..."
She trailed off, shaking her head.
"That's when Ragnar is gravely wounded, but pulled out. Stenson goes to the front, killing Elder Ironhand for failing to honor the duel. Sage Windfoot is summoned and fights Stenson, but is also struck down. Stenson is wounded, but is able to leave without issue. Kroga is emboldened and surges farther into the Empire with the head of the army and two of the best leaders having been killed. If they take my advice, which they won't, they just leave Blood Rock to Kroga and keep our best military minds alive."
"That's why Ironhand comes to speak with us?"
"He wants to push me to the breaking point to find any other way forward. When he returns to General Ruzi, the old man doesn't budge. He'd rather die in combat than in 3 years of old age."
Rudit sat back, looking into the distance.
"Ragnar will become a name known throughout the Empire because of this. The High Champion who killed two legends. A lot of scrutiny will be placed on him."
"Yes. It'll make things awkward for us to be friendly. We'll be asked to gather everything we can on him."
"I'll have to stop allowing his visits to the embassy."
"Understood, ma'am."
"Send Yukiko in. I'm sure you told her to wait for me."
"Yes, ma'am. She's with Makar."
Rudit held up her hand when he went to stand.
"Gregory, tell me. How does the city respond to us when the war ends?"
"It'll stop me from looking at more futures later, ma'am."
"Understood, but proceed."
Gregory exhaled slowly, then settled back in his seat and reached for the future. It was still months away before the warriors returned, but that was the future he pushed for. Things shifted some, but as long as he stayed away from Ragnar and Verka, it wasn't hard to parse. Eventually, he let go of his magic, feeling about half as drained as he could be.
"The city celebrates Ragnar's victories. The embassy is fine, but the Krogians are filled with pride. Some of the duels get a little more competitive because of it, but things settle down again."
Gregory paused before he exhaled slowly.
You get a sealed order, and Yuki takes care of it. But that strains our standing with the Council. Our clan and Yuki are seen as tools, not the reason for it. However, Yuki is arrested, and things get very tense. In the end, she's banished from Kroga, and all of us are sanctioned.
Clarify that.
Yuki gets an assassination order.
Rudit's lips pursed.
They ask a sitting assistant ambassador to assassinate someone?
Yes, ma'am.
Look at that part of the future again,
Rudit said firmly. Gregory did as ordered, feeling his aether draining fast. He had to use his ring to finish, but eventually he slumped forward.
Your refusal to put your assistant in danger is not well received, ma'am. However, the assassination goes off, as another Magi is sent to do it. When Stenson comes to speak with you, Yuki proves her innocence, and he accepts her assurance. It's far better for the clan and my family. Because of the shadow cast by the assassination, we are barred from the festival this coming year.
Spying is one thing, but assassination is far different, Rudit said. Whoever sends that order will get my displeasure. Stenson would be well within his rights to execute her if he could prove Yukiko was behind the assassination. We are only shielded from most things. Murder isn't one of them.
Diplomatic immunity only protects us from smaller crimes.
Gregory nodded.
Very well. You are obviously done for the day, so take it to relax. You may send Yukiko in now.
Gregory stood up, bowing to Rudit.
Yes, ma'am.
Leaving the office, Gregory gave Yukiko a smile.
She's ready for you.
Thank you, dearest.
Yukiko ran a hand over his chest when she went past him. When the door shut behind her, Makard chuckled.
You have a very loving family.
I really do.
Is everything okay? I wasn't expecting Yukiko to come and wait out here.
The future is nearly set,
Gregory said softly.
Things will be set into motion today.
Makar took a deep breath.
Are we safe?
As safe as we can be, but she'll tell you what she deems she should.
Gregory started, then changed his sentence.
I'm sorry, Makar.
You were right to stop,
Makar said.
Have a good day, Gregory. You too, Makar. You too.
Gregory stepped outside where Jen was training the men. Jen saw him, and her eyebrows went up. She had a word with the sergeants she was working with before going to his side.
Are you okay, Greg?
I'm down to sparks, Gregory said. I wanted to get some work in, and I don't need my aether for that.
Okay, I'll put you to work.
As my heart wishes.
Jen smiled softly, touching his cheek.
Don't push yourself too far.
I won't.
The family retired to their room after dinner. Everyone had felt a shift in how Gregory acted, but they knew they couldn't ask him either. When they took seats in their room, he broached the topic for them.
I can't say much, but I can say there's an end in sight.
That means things will change again,
Roshana murmured.
Our friends will come back, but we can't go into details,
Yukiko said.
Our soul did keep me safe.
Ling pulled out her enchanted box to keep their conversations secret. Once she turned it on, she looked at Yukiko.
What do you mean?
The future is set. The Empire loses Blood Rock and more,
Gregory said.
Later, orders come in telling Rudy to have Yuki assassinate a council elder. That causes far more trouble, as Stenson doesn't let that go. Rudit will step in now and refuse. A Whispering Darkness Master will be sent to do it instead. Afterward, they leave, but Stenson comes to investigate who did it. Yuki tells the truth under pressure, and he accepts it.
My family's secret?
Yukiko asked.
You stand firm, and that impresses and reassures him.
Gregory nodded.
Instead of causing more trouble, we're seen as honorable heroes because it becomes clear that she refused the order. We won't be invited to the Solstice Festival again, however.
If she did kill an elder...
Clover started, anxious at what would happen.
It's okay,
Yukiko cut in.
It doesn't happen. It would put the family in the worst spot we could be in. No doubt that's why the order comes in. To hurt us.
Rudit will shoulder the brunt of refusal. Gregory said. Our clan backs us, so we need to do all we can in return.
All of them felt pressure on the enchantment as multiple Aether users pushed on it.
Close it up and let's retire for the night. We'll be fine,
Gregory said softly.
Just keep doing what we have to, and things will work out.
Ling reached out, turning the enchantment off.
Music before bed is always nice. I'm looking forward to cuddles.
The spies stayed with them until carnal acts began in the bedroom. When the watchers left, the family relaxed, able to